The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the ShopTates.com studios.
Thanks for being with us. A good Wednesday, Brad Sesmat, Sports360AZ.com. On AZ Central Sports, good to be partnered up with the Arizona Republic, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sesmat. You can also follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ. A lot of people jumping on board on that. Jack McCallum is going to be with us here in about 10, 12 minutes. Jack, Hall of Fame NBA writer for Sports Illustrated. My understanding is he sat with David Stern last week and watched the Adam Silver press conference of the Clippers. And I want to know what the reaction was from the former commissioner and all these jobs around the NBA that are open right now. Golden State, Mark Jackson gets blown out yesterday. I think Oklahoma City could come open. The Indiana Pacers job could come open. Steve Kerr is sitting out there. Is he better off going to the Warriors? What about the Lakers job and the head coaching job? You have guys like, I don't know, Mike D'Antoni standing around out in a street corner along with Mark Jackson and Steve Kerr all looking to get jobs. So plenty to talk about. I also want to talk to Jack about the Suns this last season. Of course, Jack wrote a terrific book, 7 Seconds or Less, around the Mike D'Antoni era, and knows Robert Sarver's regime inside and out. We'll talk with Jack McCallum. Kent Summers, AZ Central, Cardinals insider, daily on the beat, getting it done out there. We'll talk with Kent at the bottom of the hour about the draft tomorrow and what direction the Cardinals are going to go at number 20. What is his prediction for number one overall? We're in the prediction business. Eric, I think we should probably, you and I, and maybe Jared, get like a blank sheet of paper, and we have our own little mock, and whoever gets the most right, that person, whoever loses, that person has to buy lunch.
There's a decent chance I would get less than 3 of the first round picks right.
3?
Yeah.
You pay that little attention to this?
No, it's not that I don't pay that much attention to it. It's just there's no uncertainty. I mean, there's no certainty. Like, there's no Andrew Luck. There's no guarantee. Who knows what the Texans are thinking right now? We know what they're thinking, but what if they step to the podium and select Johnny Manziel, and everyone goes, oh!
Yeah.
After all this Jadeveon Clowney and all these other guys that they've bringing in for these secret workouts, who knows what's going to happen? That's the beauty of the draft.
Here's the thing. I don't think that the Texans can pass on Johnny Manziel from this standpoint. And I've started to hear this now from national pundits, and I'm sitting in here in a studio in Scottsdale, and they're now starting to concede, well, maybe the owner will see the business side of all. Yeah, you think? This really isn't that hard. When the Houston Chronicle puts out a story of the celebrities in Houston, who they want taken, none of them say Jadeveon Clowney. You know, the football guys will say, the Mayocks and those guys will say, well, it's Khalil Mack. You're going to step to the podium and you're going to take a player that's probably a very good player, and it will go over like an absolute lead balloon.
How about this, Brad? I got the perfect scenario.
Yeah.
So all the whispers of the Texans, they're going to take a quarterback, and Goodell gets to the podium, and you know what? They are going to take a quarterback. They're going to take Blake Bortles with the first pick. Rioting in downtown Houston.
But that's the thing about tomorrow night's draft. While I hate sitting here a couple of extra weeks, I've been making fun of all these mock drafts because there's nothing left to say. Everybody's just staggering to the finish line. These shows across the country don't want to dig any deeper than, well, let's just do a mock draft and talk about who's going to be number one overall. That's not brain surgery. That's low-hanging fruit here that's easy to talk about. I do think the Manziel story is captivating and fascinating because there's no other player that's come along here in recent times. Okay, and I'll even throw Andrew Luck into that. Andrew Luck was a terrific quarterback. Terrific in college, and there was no question he was a can't miss, but he didn't have the flair and the pizzazz that Johnny Manziel brings. Now, that's a downside to Johnny Manziel. That's why there's been so much. Tomorrow, Johnny Manziel will be a trending topic worldwide. He will be, and that organization that takes him immediately becomes relevant in at least for the next 2 years. You don't want to be the general manager or the coach that said, well, we thought Johnny Manziel was to this and to that, so we took Khalil Mack. And we sold 2 Khalil Mack jerseys. We didn't sell any season tickets. But if you're that coach or general manager that captures Johnny Manziel, you buy yourself at least 2 years in this league.
I would think so.
At least.
I would think so.
So we're going to talk to Kent Summers about all that coming up here in a couple of minutes. Let's get you caught up some things on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains, just outside of Pine Top. the Honda Resort and Casino. That is the place to go party, the place to go have fun, the place where you want to have the big winnings, get away up in the high country. It's a Honda Resort and Casino. Let's start with the draft. And a little bit further on into the draft, and again, we'll be joined by Jack McCallum here in a couple of minutes. So today, Jadeveon Clowney was caught up to this morning at the NFL draft. All the players are already in New York City. All the players that are going to be drafted are already there. So they've been doing the rounds this morning. Clowney said with a smile on the Texans and the number one pick, I don't think they're going to pass on me. Now, I don't know if they've already been given the instruction that, hey, look, let's start negotiating. Eric Metz may join us today. We usually have Eric on Wednesdays. He is back at the draft. He may be with us, but as it sits right now, he's trying to get his client to be the number one overall pick. But that's where Jadeveon Clowney is. I don't think they're going to pass on me. Johnny Manziel says, I have not been told anything by the Texans, says teams will regret passing on him. Yeah, no kidding. That's the way that has worked out through the last few months, where Manziel has said, you better not pass on me. You better not do that. So that's where the draft is, at least from the two big names at this point. And we'll get much more into that with Kent Summers here in a few minutes. The Diamondbacks last night, they go out and they were just dreadful early on. I mean, just awful once again. Poor first inning. They gave up 5 runs. They kicked the ball around the yard. But Aaron Hill, Chris Owings, Paul Goldschmidt each had home runs. And Evan Marshall, what a great story there, gets called up, gets his first win. The Diamondbacks get the victory. I went down to the Biltmore yesterday. The Pac-12 football and basketball coaches are all here in town. The Big 12 football coaches and basketball coaches are here. The WAC is, or the Mountain West Conference is here. So it's kind of fun trolling around the halls down there. I saw our mutual friends, Paula Bovin and Doug Haller with AZ Central down there too. But I caught up with Steve Patterson for a couple of minutes, the former Arizona State Sun Devil athletic director. I'm going to talk about that as the show progresses today, too. The playoffs last night were really good. Really, really good. But I think what overshadowed everything yesterday was Kevin Durant's speech. Kevin Durant won the most valuable player, and I poked fun yesterday morning because the Thunder got crushed in their first playoff game by the Clippers. And that the headline writer, the Oklahoman, probably didn't write the headline that needs to be written about Kevin Durant. Then I see Durant, and I'm a fan of Durant's, I've always have been, but last week when I heard, well, the newspaper was too tough, you can't be too tough in a situation like that. And you have to have thicker skin, whether it's the organization or the kid. Here's Kevin Durant on the moment yesterday of standing in front of everybody. This was as powerful an awards ceremony speech as I've heard. Here's Kevin Durant.
I come from a small county outside of Washington, D.C., called PG County. And me, my mom, my brother, we moved so many different places growing up. And it felt like a box. It felt like there was no getting out. My dream was to become a rec league coach. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to stay home and help the kids out and be a coach. I love basketball so much. I love playing it. I just never thought that I could make it to college, NBA, or stand up here today in front of you guys and be an NBA MVP.
Really good stuff with Kevin Durant. That was yesterday, and we'll have much more on that, too. Step aside here. Jack McCallum standing by. Always good to catch up with Jack. We'll have him on the other side. New York Times bestselling author, SI NBA special contributor, and much, much more on what did he learn from Donald Sterling's deal with the NBA? He sat with David Stern during the Adam Silver press conference. All these coaching jobs that are open, we'll have all that next with Jack McCallum. I'm Brad Sussmat, sports360az.com. On AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/sports360az.
Let's talk basketball for a couple of minutes. Brad Sussmat with you. Sports 360 AZ on AZ Central Sports. Going to be partnered with the Arizona Republic, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter, at Sports 360 AZ. As mentioned, spotlight for a couple of minutes. Really looking forward to catching up with Jack McCallum, Basketball Hall of Famer, Sports Illustrated special contributor, one of the best in the business. Of course, he covered the 7 seconds or less run with the Suns. We've had Jack on from time to time. Where do we start with Jack McCallum? I think it's with what did we learn from the Donald Sterling mess this last week from your view, Jack?
Well, I guess we learned, number one, if you were a libertarian, you learned that your team is not safe. And number two, we learned that if you're an idiot like Donald Sterling and you hold views like that, it is best to always keep them for yourself. And I think we learned that, moreover, that this the league, it's a business, but it's an association. I mean, you have to remember the unique nature of sports as a business, that it's more like a club. It's more like a, you know, a trade association in a lot of ways. And what one person does affects the whole. And, I mean, for Sterling, he committed one of the venal sins for this league. And he paid for it. And personally, I'm glad he paid for it. He's been a strange human being who mismanaged that franchise for many years, and he's perhaps about to experience the ultimate irony if the team makes it to the championship final, which is not out of the question. He's going to be watching from the sidelines.
Yeah, did you sit with David Stern during the Silver press conference? I'd heard that maybe you were with David Stern. Is that right?
I did. I wrote a something for my website about it. What happened was that I had a prearranged interview with Stern for that day about something else. I'm writing his biography for the Hall of Fame. Mm. And, you know, naturally, I begged that he, go on the record with his comments about Sterling and Silver, but he just wouldn't do it. So it was a fascinating day, of which hopefully one day I'll be able to chronicle. But I couldn't due to agreeing to off the record type of things with him. So it's just the way it goes sometimes. But it was an interesting afternoon, put it that way.
And I can't ask you. I'm not going to ask you what was said. Can you even describe body motion, body action, as this was all taking place from David Stern watching Adam Silver, or is that going too far?
Well, I mean, let's just put it this way, that David was squarely in his corner. It wasn't the old thing of, I'm superior watching this guy. He was very respectful of Silver's position. And let's just put it this way, it was a good day for David Stern and for Adam Silver. So,
And I apologize off the top. I should mention your website. So go ahead. Fire away. What's your website that people can get to and check it out?
It's jackmccallum.net. Jackmccallum.com was strangely taken. So it's on jackmccallum.net. And I wish, as I began it by saying, I wish it were a sexier story, but it is what it is.
No. As you've covered the league through the years, Adam Silver and his performance has been lauded from top to bottom. What did you think of Adam Silver and how he handled all this?
Well, I thought that he was good for this reason. I thought that he took the steps that he needed to take. And what came across to me was kind of the raw emotion of the guy. I thought that he looked nervous in a good way. Mm-hmm. I thought that you could tell this had really cut to the depth of him. And it seemed to me a very real performance, that it wasn't just, okay, I'm going to go show everybody that I'm the new commissioner. It struck me that as he got into it, he seemed to really build up steam, and, you know, all of his antipathy directed toward Donald Sterling and the whole issue seemed to me very genuine. So obviously it's the easiest thing in the world, and he's gotten unanimously good reviews, and I would add my own to it.
We're talking with Jack McCallum, Basketball Hall of Fame writer for Sports Illustrated, special contributor there, jackmccallum.net. Always good to catch up with Jack. If you're Steve Kerr, if you're Mike D'Antoni, if you're Mark Jackson, do you wait for OKC and Indiana to see what happens in the playoffs, or do you jump on these jobs that are available right now?
I think probably, the three guys you mentioned. I mean, I certainly know Mike the best out of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think you see that what happens is if you don't get a good job, if you don't get a job where you can win, you better not take it, because there is no patience. And what's interesting is in this series, in this playoff structure, you're seeing a franchise that waited with the same guys. Now, they had different coaches, the Washington Wizards, but they've stuck with Ernie Grunfeld's administration, They kind of stuck with Randy Whitman when it looked like he might get fired. And, you know, they're going to take another step or two. And in most cases, the patience just, you know, just is not there for guys. And it's kind of sad, but I can't speak for those three guys. But I would think that they would make sure that they step into a situation where they're going to win. And right now, Indiana seems like a very, very, very unhealthy culture.
Were you surprised with what happened with Mark Jackson up at Golden State?
Very much so. And I do not know the answer to this, but obviously there's more to that story.
Yeah.
I mean, you had a coach that was, you know, secretly taping guys, the coaches' meetings and things like that. He gets fired. He moves to another franchise, gets another job with a storied franchise with the Celtics. Obviously, there's a lot going on there, but you know, you're tempted to think, well, that's a great job. I mean, you're going to have Stephen Curry, you know, a great job for D'Antoni with a point guard. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you better be hesitant because there's something going on in Golden State that's below the surface, that's for sure.
Well, you have Rick Welts up there with a Mike D'Antoni connection here in Phoenix. So I think...
Yeah, exactly. And Rick, you know, one of the great executives, I guess he never thought after leaving the NBA, things could get more complicated, but that certainly seems like what the case is in Golden State.
In the case of the Knicks job, so your view of the Knicks and Steve Kerr and if Phil Jackson is telling Carmelo Anthony, I'm going off of all the hearsay and reports that are out there, that, yeah, Steve Kerr is going to be our coach. Is that a good job, Jack?
I mean, I don't think it's a good job. You have an unhealthy corporate culture above you. You know, it's one thing when Phil Jackson came in and tried to convince and was able to convince Michael Jordan that he has to comply basically with the rules of the triangle and we're only going to succeed if we're a team player. It's one thing to do that when you have Michael. It's another thing to do that when you have to convince Carmelo Anthony of that. I mean, mm-hmm. That's a whole other thing. They have a basic decision there whether they're going to be a Carmelo-centric team or whether they're not. And right now, with some of the teams, you know, with Washington showing new power, the 76ers are going to get draft picks. The Bulls, if they get Derrick Rose back, I don't see any reason for a lot of optimism if you're the, you know, New York Knicks fan.
A couple other questions before I let you go. As you look at the playoffs and where we are right now, are we just to anticipate once again Spurs Heat, or do you think change in the guard is going to happen this year?
I mean, my best guess is I still think as good as the Spurs looked in the last game against the Game 7 clincher against Dallas and the first game against Portland, I still think that could come down to the wire. I see the Clippers coming out of their series just because of their balance. Mm-hmm. I just can't see anybody beating Miami. I just can't evoke a scenario where that happens. So I guess I'm going to have to bail out and say I certainly see Miami coming out of the East. I see them winning the championship. And since I, you know, should make a pick or be a coward, I'm going to say that the, you know, we have a replay of last year and Miami again gets it done. But don't make any bets based on that.
No, don't run to Vegas on it. But I guess what I'm getting at is when you look at the league and the health of the league, the playoffs to me this year have been as good as ever, and we don't have the Lakers, and we don't have the Celtics, and we don't have the Bulls. And so I would think the league office has to be very pleased on one hand that there is so much parity, or they don't have the big markets, and that hurts business, but you do have the Clippers out there in Los Angeles. I mean, just give me a view. You've covered the league for so long that not having the big three, so to speak, out there still, and yet we're having the best year of playoffs ever.
I think they're still, they have to be basically happy as long as they have it. If you would have had some scenario where, you know, the Miami Heat gets knocked off by the Brooklyn Nets in this round, mm-hmm. and out in the West you have whoever, you know, whether it's San Antonio. The Clippers obviously are a great story because of what happened with Sterling. But you know, what they still have is LeBron. So they kind of have the best of the world. They have their star. They have LeBron. Whether or not they're going to have Durant is another question. But then they can say to themselves, well, look, we finally got something out of the Washington Wizards, finally got something. There's some life with the Atlanta Hawks franchise, which has really been down. So they have a lot to be thankful for. But trust me, never mind parity. They still like the fact that LeBron is they're still hoping that LeBron gets to the finals.
Before I let you go, what's your view of what's gone on out here in Phoenix? I thought it was a terrific year, terrific story. I don't know if they can repeat what they did this season next year. I don't know if this team is really that good. I do know that Ryan McDonough has done a terrific job in stockpiling picks and cap space for this summer. But your view of where the Suns are right now under Robert Sarver and company?
Well, I mean, I think it's been one of the great managerial system things that have gone on that the year I did the Suns book, you know, Robert was a relatively new owner, still kind of learning the ropes, still trying to figure out how to do this, who calls the shots. And he really, really, really deserves a lot of credit. And the Suns were, you know, one of the franchises that was really one of the really good stories of the year. I really, you know, if Adam Silver, the 16 best teams would be in the playoffs, obviously the Suns would be in there. And I, you know, they got some draft picks. No, they don't have a championship team right now. But how many teams do? I mean, how many teams do you look at and say, okay, they're going to win the championship? I mean, probably 26 teams cannot really say that. The Suns are in that position, but with a couple good moves, everything falls right. You know, Spurs are getting older. We have to see if there's upheaval in Oklahoma City. The Suns have as good a chance to move up in the West as I think any team.
Yeah, and I think they've done what you need to do, which is bottom out, get really bad, and then get really good, and they're heading the trajectory is heading in the right direction.
That's right.
Appreciate the time, Jack, as always. Thanks.
Okay.
Jack McCallum, Basketball Hall of Famer, Sports Illustrated Special Contributor. You can check out his content at jackmccallum.net, one of the leading voices around the NBA. It's always good to catch up with Jack McCallum. Brad Sussmat with you. Sports360AZ.com. Of course, on AZ Central, AZ Central Sports. Appreciate the partnership with the Arizona Republic. White Mountain Radio and on Twitter, at Sports360AZ. Still to come, Kent Summers with the Arizona Republic. We'll talk with Kent about the Cardinals, their draft, if he has his 20th mock draft of 20 picks, because the draft is tomorrow night. That's all straight ahead.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
Thanks again to Jack McCallum, Hall of Famer with the NBA, of course, Sports Illustrated, one of the best in the business, Jack McCallum. I think he wanted to tell me what David Stern said as the two were sitting there together watching the Adam Silver press conference. But that will be a fascinating antidote. But next time. Well, so let's go from one Hall of Famer to the next. Kent Summers. Kent Summers, a Hall of Fame voter. See, I can work that in. It's fine. AZ Central Sports. Yeah. You're a Hall of Famer, right?
Yeah, you're stretching it. I'm glad you put voter in there.
Voter. Let's make sure we make that. Okay, so let's do this. Let's play the yes or no game, because this is a lot more fun than saying what are the Cardinals going to do at 20? So, yes or no, the Cardinals will take a quarterback.
At number 20? I'm sorry, that's not yes or no, but at number 20?
Just, will the Cardinals take a quarterback, yes or no?
In the draft.
Yes or no? Will the Cardinals take a quarterback at number 20 in the draft?
No.
This is away from yes or no. What if Johnny Manziel is still sitting there?
Then it would be yes.
It would be yes.
I mean, Steve Keim has said there is a quarterback in their top 20. There is a guy there. Of course, he won't say who it is, but I would have to think it's Johnny Manziel. So I think if Johnny Manziel is there at 20, the Cardinals have to take him.
Will Johnny Manziel be there at 20, yes or no, for Kent Summers?
No.
So then we're looking at what position? No, let me put it this way. Will the Cardinals take a safety at number 20?
Oof. I would say, if it has to be yes or no, I would say yes.
Okay, so let's elaborate on that a little bit, because I agree with you. If there's a safety there to be taken, away from yes or no for a minute, as you go through this draft in your preparation, is it pointing more towards defense with this 20th pick?
I think so. I mean, oddly enough, to me, that's the great irony for this team in the draft, that given all of its offensive problems, especially throughout the first half of last season, I think the most immediate needs or holes to fill and the Cardinals hate to use those phrases, are on defense. And I think the way this draft breaks down, that's what they're going to do with the 20th pick, whether it's a safety or an outside linebacker or a defensive end. I think they not only have to take some of those guys for this year, but also looking a year or two down the road. I mean, they're going to need to replace Darnell Dockett, John Abraham, et cetera. And I think they need to start to do that in this draft.
Back to Yes or No's with Kent Summers, AZ Central Sports, covering the Cardinals. You got to check his content out, whether it's today, tomorrow, through the weekend. The Cardinals people like Carl Bradford from Arizona State. Yes or no?
Yes.
If Carl Bradford, yeah, okay.
An emphatic yes.
Okay, emphatic yes. The Cardinals people like Will Sutton. Yes or no?
Yes.
The Cardinals.
But can I say something else?
Sure.
I don't think he's a fit in their scheme, or they don't view him as a fit in their scheme. And I agree with him. I think he's more of a tackle in a 4-3, kind of playing that under tackle that we saw Darnell Dockett play early in his career, that, you know, John Randall and made Warren Sapp made famous in the Tampa 2. I think he's that kind of guy. I think he's a guy that should play about 290 pounds and use that explosiveness off the ball to really cause problems. I don't think he's a 3-4 defensive end.
Yes or no, the Cardinals like Kadeem Carey?
I don't know. I would say yes. But I don't think, like a lot of teams, they put a ton of value on running backs now, and I think they're happy with the guys they've got.
So the most emphatic yes from you came from Carl Bradford.
I just think he'd be a tremendous fit here. You're talking about a guy who is, you know, plays all out all the time, has for some versatility, has some pass rush skills, but really has speed to cover and to drop. And I think while he learns that position, that he would just be a demon on special teams. You just can't have too many guys like that. I think he would be a great fit here, but I also think he'd be a great fit almost anywhere. I think there are a lot of NFL teams that like him an awful lot.
But you know, internally, the Cardinals are one of those that really like him.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, and I think, like I said, I just think he fits the system here. I think he fits the, you know, everything they look for in a player. You know, he's smart, already graduated. He's physical. He's obviously committed to the game, and just has a lot of skill. He's very flexible. You could use him in different ways. You could even, you know, in crunch, he could probably even play inside.
Are you tired of mock drafts? Yes or no?
No. Really? I'm not. I think they're fun. I just think, you know, a certain segment of people put way too much importance in them, and I think we have all got to realize that, you know, most of us who are doing them are just guessing.
Give me two players, if you can, because you've done all these mocks, two players that you believe, if the Cardinals are sitting there at 20 and these two players are on the board, that they're going to have a tough call.
I think between safeties, it could be, you know, Calvin Pryor of Louisville. I know a lot of people, I don't know this, if people here love him as much, but Jimmy Ward, the safety from Northern Illinois. And I think Ryan Shazer from Ohio State, the linebacker. You know, when people describe him, it's a lot like how I describe, you know, Carl Bradford, a guy who loves the game. And thought it was interesting last week, somebody asked Steve Keim about him, and Keim, you know, didn't hide how much he likes him and said, you know, people see him as undersized, but Keim pointed out he's the same size as Patrick Willis was when he left Mississippi, 6'1", and, you know, and in the high 230s. So I think, you know, those guys would be, that, you know, that might be a tough call if presented with those couple of options.
Based on all the conversations you've had, we're talking with Kent Summers, AZ Central Sports. Check out AZ Central Sports, great content around the Cardinals and the draft, not just Kent, but their whole staff as they get ready for draft coverage tomorrow night. As you've talked to the Cardinals, whether it's on the record, off the record, do you have a gauge of how their board looks in the way of quarterbacks?
Not really. You know, they've been pretty close to the vest on this.
Do you think that you have been...
Probably Manziel first and Derek Carr second. I think probably Derek Carr is more of a guy that fits the mold of a Bruce Arians quarterback. I think one thing to keep an eye on during the draft, and especially maybe the second to third day, is how motivated the Tampa Bay is to move Mike Glennon. What will they take for Mike Glennon? I know last year the Cardinals had a pretty high grade on him, and he ended up going in the third round to the Bucks. And if they want to move him for a fourth or fifth round pick, then, you know, I think that's an interesting decision for the Cardinals to have to make. Is he worth that?
What do you like most about draft in preparation for? What turns your crank for draft? Because, you know, it's one thing if it's game week. It's one thing if it's free agency. But for you on the day-by-day beat, what is it that you like about prepping for drafts?
You know, prepping for draft is okay with me. I mean, I don't dislike it. It's not my favorite thing in the world. You know, to me, it's a lot like when I covered colleges and recruiting, you know, so much misinformation out there, or you don't know exactly what's going to happen. The actual days of the draft, I enjoy an awful lot because it's fun to see what players end up where. It's fun to, you know, have new storylines present themselves, you know, here as a beat writer. You know, for instance, you know, last year they surprised everybody by taking Tyrann Mathieu in the third round. I mean, as a reporter, you love that kind of stuff when you get a great story that comes into town. So to me, the actual 3 days of the draft are fun. All the months that lead up to it, you know, it's kind to me a necessary evil. People love to speculate and you know, and guess and talk about it, but you know, that ends up, you know, that's all it is. And it gets a little bit tiresome.
Let's talk about news of the day before I let you go. And that is Richard Sherman press conference later today, in all likelihood announcing from every report I'm seeing that he will become the highest paid corner in all the National Football League. What's Patrick Peterson's reaction to this, do you believe?
Well, it's probably going to be positive if he gets a boatload of money in the upper 20s of guaranteed money. And I think it helps the Cardinals out an awful lot. It sets it sets a market. I mean, both are the same age, both regarded right up there as the best corners, best young corners in the game. I think the Cardinals are on a little different timeline than Seattle. They haven't been negotiating with Peterson's agent yet. The Cardinals usually wait till summer or late summer to start to do that with some of their own guys. But certainly it helps them a ton.
Before I let you go, yes or no, one final yes or no. Have you been lied to by agents or teams or personnel in the last 3 months leading up to the draft?
I don't know. I guess we'll find out Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Yeah. I mean, as a reporter, I would probably say, yeah, chances are pretty good somebody hasn't been telling the whole truth.
Yeah. Have you been misdirected, maybe, is the better term?
Not too much. I mean, I think we all kind of know how the game is played. Yeah. Nobody's going to get backed into a corner and tell you very much. And I think, you know, most reporters realize that, you know, you're not going to get the whole truth. And, you know, but that's, you know, you expect to be at this time of year.
Who is the number one overall pick? And then I'll let you go. I promise.
I like Jadeveon Clowney. I just think he's got such athletic ability, rare athletic ability, and I know there are questions about how hard he's going to play, et cetera, but I actually think the new salary structure in the NFL, and by new I mean since 2011, where maybe that first overall pick, I mean, while that's a handsome payday, the huge payday, as we're seeing from Richard Sherman and Patrick Peterson, is going to come 3+ years later. So to me, that gives him great incentive to play those 3 years. So I think if he goes to the right place and surrounded by veterans, and I think Houston might be the right place with a J.J. Watt and those guys, I think he's going to be an unbelievable player.
Fun interview. Appreciate your time as always. I'll see you tomorrow over at the facility.
Thanks for having me, Brad.
You got it, Kent. Kent Summers there, AZ Central Sports. Always good to catch up with Kent, and you can check his content out, AZ Central Sports, all around the NFL draft. Appreciate the partnership here with Sports360AZ.com. On the other side, a few things that are on my mind around the draft and Manziel. I'm going to go back on Manziel. And when the pressure is put out there by the public, do you respond or do you not respond? I think in Houston, based on everything I'm seeing, hearing, believing, And yeah, being lied to about on a certain occasion. Or that's the lying season we're in right now. I'm going to get into that a little bit on the other side. Draft coverage is tomorrow, and of course, we'll be doing our thing around the draft as we do every year. Sports360AZ.com. Stay with us.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center, available 24/7, 365 at Sports360AZ.com.
We're going to head down to the Biltmore after the show. Larry Scott, the commissioner of the Pac-12 Conference, is meeting down at the Biltmore. I was there yesterday. It's pretty cool. As I've always said, whether it's on this show or shows through the years, whether it's over Channel 3 or even before that over at KTAR, that this is the busiest sports market in America. It doesn't mean it's the best. It is to me because I live here. But when I can go down to the Biltmore yesterday and bump into Big 12 football and basketball coaches, Pac-12 football and basketball coaches, administrators, I can stand in a lobby and talk to Greg Byrne as easily as Rich Rod, as easily as Todd Graham. And walking by is Thad Boyle from Colorado, and Jim Mora is there. And, you know, David Shaw comes by. David Shaw is one of the nicest people. Mike Riley of Oregon State, I'm sitting there yesterday just writing something. He comes over, "Hey, how you doing? I'm Mike Riley." "Of course you are. You have your football jacket on. You're just one of the nicest human beings on the face of the planet." So we're going to head down there for Larry Scott. It's great to have so much college football going on with the draft in place as well, and kind of take our minds off of an awful baseball team, even though they had a nice win last night. So I want to go back on something Kent talked about, and that is we've mentioned the Mike Glennon possibility. And then there's also the possibility that the Cardinals take a quarterback at number 20 if that quarterback happens to be Derek Carr, whomever the Cardinals decided to be. Here's my thing. Trading back is always smart football practice when it comes to drafting. Trading down and getting a few extra picks makes a lot of sense to me. So if Derek Carr is the guy you want, let's just use that by example. And the Cardinals are sitting there at number 20. Behind them is the Green Bay Packers. The Green Bay Packers, do they need a quarterback? The answer is no. That's at 21. At 22, you have the Philadelphia Eagles. They need a quarterback? No, they've drafted a boatload of them. At 23, you have the Kansas City Chiefs. Can we see the Kansas City Chiefs taking a quarterback? Maybe, possibly, but probably not. They need some skill talent there. And so you have Alex Smith there. You don't necessarily believe a quarterback is in place there at 23. At 24, you have the Cincinnati Bengals. Could I see them taking a quarterback to push Andy Dalton? Absolutely, I could, no matter what smokescreen is being set out there. 25, you have the Chargers, and they have Phillip Rivers. Could I see them taking a quarterback? No. My point on this is, if you're Steve Keim, and if you're dead set on a quarterback at 20, can you trade down to 23 or 24 and still get that guy and acquire the extra picks because everybody may be wanting to go on the defensive end? Eric, you know what I'm talking about in terms of strategizing for the draft tomorrow?
Exactly, and especially, Brad, since the Cardinals only have 6 picks,
right,
it would be in their best interest to stockpile because, you know, Steve Keim has proven that he's pretty shrewd when it comes to the draft, with the exception of Ryan Swope last year.
That was the only guy.
Almost everyone else made a big impact, including Andre Ellington very late in the draft.
Well, and I think it's like what Seattle, you look at what John Schneider's done, you know, Russell Wilson, Cam Chancellor, and Richard Sherman, those guys were all taken after the second round, all three of them. Okay, so he hit. And that's why, you know, tomorrow night will be interesting and fun around 20. But when you can tell the quality of an organization, and we can only go off of 1 year's body of work under Keim and Arians, 1 year's body of work shows that they had great success last year and that you have to go in Steve we trust mode. Now, I don't know how Tyrann Mathieu is going to be when he comes back. I also don't know how Tyrann Mathieu has been off the field. And I have to bring that up because the biggest fear of Tyrann Mathieu off the field was when it is off season. And that's always going to be a battle for Tyrann Mathieu. Anybody who tells me, "Oh no, we got it all figured out." No, you don't. Nobody has those types of issues all figured out. It
but you
only
have
takes
to,
one
you,
relapse.
You have to assume, though, Brad, no news is good news.
Absolutely.
I mean, if something
you
would have happened, we probably would have heard it, or somebody probably would have leaked it.
And that's not unfair. It's completely not unfair to bring this up. And anybody who tries to tell me it is, they're just drinking the Kool-Aid. That's the way it is on this. So I think you could find yourself in a position. Now, let's say it's Mike Glennon. Okay. Would I be fine if the Cardinals traded a pick to bring Mike Glennon here for Bruce Arians? any quarterback that Bruce Arians wants to bring here, because he's a lot smarter at quarterbacks than I'll ever be, I have to trust him on that front. I know that some of you will just want me to rip the heck out of the Cardinals like I've done through the years, but you also, when they play well, you acknowledge it and they play well. When they screw up and they take Matt Leinart in the first round, you beat them over the head with a shovel. And you don't let it go, because up until about the middle of last season, I don't want to hear about, well, Kurt Warner left a year early and it put us in a really bad spot. Too bad. You're the ones that took a quarterback so high and you missed completely. So it set you back all these years.
And Mike Glennon for a fifth round pick to me is a low risk, high reward proposition. I mean, you're getting a guy who's not even scratched the surface in terms of his potential. The Cardinals got to see what this guy was all about, because when they played Tampa Bay, Glennon was the quarterback.
He wasn't horrible,
but again,
he wasn't great. He was thrown to the wolves like all these guys.
Yeah, he was just getting his feet wet in the NFL playing for a team that wasn't very good.
But I asked Kent about if Manziel's there, do they take him? They have to.
It'd be great. I don't think he's going to be there, but no. It would be great if the Cardinals are on the clock at 20, and for some unknown reason, Manziel hasn't been taken. I'm sure someone's going to take
him. But let me throw it this way. Is there enough riverboat gambler in Steve Keim and Bruce Arians, if they see a guy that they really like, that if that guy is sitting there, let's just say 10, mm-hmm. that they're not adverse to saying, we're going to trade up? My answer to that is, Tyrann Mathieu pick showed me all I needed to know. They're not afraid.
But that wasn't in the first round.
That wasn't in the third round. No, I understand that. But the fact that they made that bold of a move tells me they've got some guts. You know, I want a general manager that is not afraid. It's like Kevin Towers. Okay, Kevin Towers is getting crushed for what's going on here, and he should. He should. But at the same time, he has had his commitment that this is what I'm going to do, and not just kind of aim around and throw some darts up against the wall in hopes that something sticks. I think during the Rod Graves era, there was a lot of that. Okay, and so I feel like in Steve's case, if they found a way to even trade up, but my strategy at 20 would be trade down.
I agree.
Unless there's somebody you absolutely have to have, and I know it's not going to do anything for the fan base. I know that. But if you trade down and you're able to get a couple of extra guys because you really feel like that this draft has some gems later on, why not?
And the Cardinals' wish list, I'm sure, has 2, 3, 4 guys, and they may have their pick of all 3 of them or 4 of them when they get to number 20, and then you have choices. Like you said, you could trade down, you could stockpile some picks, figure it out.
Here is Jerry Jones. So for the Cowboy fans in the audience, and you know who you are, you're a bunch of bandwagon jumpers. Your team always blows. They talk a good game, and they never get to the postseason. Here's Jerry Jones giving you the answer on, would you ever consider drafting Johnny Manziel to wear the Cowboys jersey?
We would not in any way speculate specifically about any player at this time. I will go as far as to say is it is not our primary goal in the first round to be looking at a quarterback.
Of course it isn't. You don't want to get your fan base all torqued out and excited. We got Tony Romo.
I mean, that soundbite really didn't say much of anything, as is most of the time when it comes to the draft. You have to kind of read between the lines.
Yeah.
Sift through the crap to figure out what's truth and what's
if he
not
said,
true.
If he said, well, sure, we would be open. You know, the right answer is we'd be open to anything that would make our football club better, and that would put people to sleep. But that's the answer that you give in that space.
And Jerry Jones loves making a splash. They drafted Dez Bryant a couple years ago
in the first round. I know,
so.
But if you're convinced, that the size of Tony Romo's contract is going to keep you away from drafting Johnny Manziel. If you're a Dallas Cowboy, you can't hit a bigger home run than drafting him. But you also can't hurt Tony Romo's feelings 2 days before the draft. So you have to play that game a little bit too.
There'd be tons of people in Dallas that would be tickled pink if they drafted Johnny Manziel and got Romo out of there.
Eric, I can't think of anybody that would call or write in or vote on polls that would say, what a horrendous pick for us, unless it's the New England Patriots or it's the Denver Broncos. Because, look, the business side of it far exceeds what the possibilities are. There hasn't been a player like this that's come along in a – I can't think of the last time. And if it's Clowney that's the first overall pick, when was the last time a defensive player was taken with the first overall pick in the draft? You have to go all the way back to Mario Williams.
Yep.
Okay, so and what was the Mario Williams pick? There was nothing sexy about that at all.
Except the fact that he was taken before Reggie Bush, and that was the big controversy. And both those guys have turned out to be good.
Right.
Not, I wouldn't say excellent, but pretty good NFL players.
This segment brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. I know where General Manager Tim Hovick is going to be tomorrow night. Santan Ford and the Arizona Ford dealers, a big part of the NFL and the Arizona Cardinals. They play with the winners. They, of course, are big backers of what the Cardinals are all about. They're big backers of what I'm all about here at Sports360AZ.com. I appreciate Tim Hovick and company for that. I'm driving the 2014 Ford Fusion. From here, I'm going to head down to the Biltmore. From there, over to a couple of meetings. And then tonight, try to be, I think I'm swim dad tonight. I don't know. It's just I've got to go from place to place to place, get my kids to practices and those sorts of things. And I do it in comfort, style, luxury in the Ford Fusion. Makes a lot of sense for me. I fit in it at 6'8", gets great gas mileage. I pull up and people say, hey, that's a nice Fusion you're driving. And I see them all over the roads now. Fusions are very popular. How about you? Are you in a car that you feel very good about? Are you in that truck that you feel very good about? You know, the F-150s are sitting there right now at Santan Ford. Summer right around the corner. You want to head on up to the mountains, up to Lake Powell, out to the coast, and you're going to load all your stuff up. Do you have the right car? Do you have the right truck for your summer vacation plans? Stop on into Santan Ford. Santan Ford just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Santan Ford General Manager Tim Hovick and company do it upright at Santan Ford, where it is all about you. I can't get enough of Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant, his speech last night is still trending today and has resonated with so many people because it was so real. Here's Kevin Durant on his mother and the impact that Kevin Durant's mom had on him. He's already been teary. He's already been weepy. He's already gone through this press conference, and he saved the best for last when he was awarded the MVP yesterday afternoon.
And last, my mom. I don't think you know what you did. You had my brother when you were 18 years old. 3 years later, I came out. The odds were stacked against us. Single parent with two boys. By the time you were 21 years old, everybody told us we weren't supposed to be here. We moved from apartment to apartment by ourselves. One of the best memories I had is when we moved into our first apartment. No bed, no furniture, and we just all sat in the living room and just hugged each other. Because we thought we made it. And when something good happens to you, I don't know about you guys, but I tend to look back to what brought me here. And you wake me up in the middle of the night in the summer times, making me run up a hill, making me do push-ups, screaming at me from the sideline of my games at 8 or 9 years old. We wasn't supposed to be here. You made us believe. You kept us off the street, put clothes on our backs, food on the table. When you didn't eat, you made sure we ate. You went to sleep hungry. You sacrificed for us. You're the real MVP.
I mean, what else can you say? Mom went to bed. We went to bed with food, and you went to bed hungry. It's one of the best speeches, obviously, I've ever heard. And it's been gripping over the last 24 hours. Just to hear that back, you can't hear that enough. And you know that it had to resonate with a lot of kids that were watching it. And it's one of those things, guys, I'll just tell you that, dad to dad, show that to your kids. Say, hey, let's take a couple minutes to just watch something. Here's the guy that won the MVP. He beat out LeBron James.
It was so unscripted. It was so from the heart, and that's what made it so real.
No, it was awesome. I mean, that's the best. Usually these speeches are painful. Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central Sports going to be partnered with the Arizona Republic. White Mountain Radio, you can follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.com. or at Brad Cesmat, C-E-S-M-A-T, on a very good Wednesday.